Elder. Father, we thank you this morning that we can gather in your house on the Lord's Day. We thank you for the wonderful privilege that we have of being here. And we ask you to bless each one who has come today that we might receive something that will help us in our daily life. We pray that you'll meet the spiritual need of every heart, that we might truly walk in fellowship with you and do your will throughout the coming week. And Lord, we just thank you for all your blessings to us. Thank you to know that you're with us in every situation and that we're never alone. We just thank you and praise you for that. And we thank you that we've been redeemed by the precious blood of Jesus and pray that you'll help us, our Father, to love you and serve you in the way that we should. May your holy will be done today. Do be with those who cannot be with us today. We know that some are ill. We ask you to undertake for them today. We think especially of Denny Fenstermacher and Karen Meister. We pray for them and for Becky, if she's not feeling well either, for Stephanie. Several people, our Father, we know are out today because of sickness, and we ask you to undertake for them and meet their needs. Thank you so much for all your goodness to us. Lead us and help us today, we pray, as we seek to worship you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. So this is chapter 49. And here we find Jacob giving his last will and testament, you might say. Or, as my Bible says, Jacob's prophetic blessing. Some of it didn't seem to be much of a blessing, but anyway, what he had to say to his sons. So let's read beginning at verse 1. And Jacob called unto his sons and said, "Gather yourselves together that I may tell you that which will befall you in the last days. Gather yourselves together and hear, ye sons of Jacob, and hearken unto Israel your father. Reuben, thou art my firstborn, my might, and the beginning of my strength, the excellency of dignity, and the excellency of power. Unstable as water, thou shalt not excel. Because thou wentest up to thy father's bed, then defilest thou it, he went up to my couch. Simeon and Levi are brethren. Instruments of cruelty are in their habitations. O my soul, come not thou into their secret, unto their assembly. Mine honor be not thou united. For in their anger they slew a man, and in their self-will they digged down a wall. Cursed be their anger, for it was fierce, and their wrath, for it was cruel. I will divide them in Jacob and scatter them in Israel. Judah, thou art he whom thy brethren shall praise. Thy hand shall be in the neck of thine enemies. Thy father's children shall bow down before thee. Judah is a lion's whelp. From the prey, my son, thou art gone up. He stooped down, he couched as a lion and as an old lion. Who shall rouse him up? The scepter shall not depart from Judah, nor a lawgiver from between his feet until Shiloh come. And unto him shall the gathering of the people be, binding his foal unto the vine, and his ass's colt unto the choice vine. He washed his garments in wine, and his clothes in the blood of grapes. His eyes shall be red with wine, and his teeth white with milk. Zebulun shall dwell at the haven of the sea. He shall be for an haven of ships, and his border shall be unto Zidon. Issachar is a strong ass, couching down between two burdens. And he saw that rest was good, and the land that it was pleasant, and bowed his shoulder to bear, and became a servant unto tribute. Excuse me. Dan shall judge his people as one of the tribes of Israel. Dan shall be a serpent, by the way, an adder in the path that biteth the horse's heels, so that his rider shall fall backward. I have waited for thy salvation, O Lord. Gad, a troop, shall overcome him, but he shall overcome at the last. Out of Asher his bread shall be fat, and he shall yield royal dainties. Naphtali is a hind let loose. He giveth goodly words. Joseph is a fruitful bough, even a fruitful bough by a well, whose branches run over the wall. The archers have sorely grieved him, and shot at him, and hated him. But his bow abode in strength, and the arms of his hands were made strong by the hands of the mighty God of Jacob. From thence is the shepherd, the stone of Israel. Even by the God of thy father, who shall help thee? And by the Almighty, who shall bless thee with blessings of heaven above, blessings of the deep that lieth under, blessings of the breasts and of the womb. The blessings of thy father have prevailed above the blessings of my progenitors, unto the utmost bound of the everlasting hills. They shall be on the head of Joseph, and on the crown of the head of him that was separate from his brethren. Benjamin shall raven as a wolf. In the morning he shall devour the prey, and at night he shall divide the spoil. All these are the 12 tribes of Israel. And this is it that their father spake unto them and blessed them. Every one according to his blessing he blessed them. And he charged them and said unto them, I am to be gathered unto my people. Bury me with my fathers in the cave that is in the field of Ephron the Hittite, in the cave that is in the field of Machpelah, which is before Mamre, in the land of Canaan, which Abraham bought with the field of Ephron the Hittite for a possession of a burying place. There they buried Abraham and Sarah, his wife. There they buried Isaac and Rebekah, his wife. And there I buried Leah. The purchase of the field and of the cave that is therein was from the children of Heth. And when Jacob had made an end of commanding his sons, he gathered up his feet into the bed and yielded up the ghost and was gathered unto his people. So may the Lord bless his word. I know that was a bit long. I hope you were able to stay awake through that, were you? Anyway, it's important to know what it says, right? And we'll go back through it in a few moments. First of all, let's have a word of prayer together. Father, we thank you again this morning that we can open your word and look into it and understand more of what you're saying to us. We know that this is a prophetic message that Jacob gave about his sons and the tribes that would come from them. And we just pray that we will understand what he's saying and that it might mean something to us. May we apply to our own hearts some of these characteristics that he mentions and see where we stand in your sight and walk in the way that you'd have us to go. Help us to seek to do your will in all things, that our Lord Jesus Christ might be glorified. Our Father, we just thank you for your goodness to us. We thank you, Lord, to know that we can depend upon you in every case and that you're always available. We can come into your presence at any time of the day or night, and you're always there, and we thank you for that. We do pray, our Father, this morning for our missionaries. We thank you for the work that they're doing in various places here in this country and in other countries around the world. And we ask your blessings upon them today. We think especially of Rob Zapatosky and his work there in Eastern Europe as he travels about doing various ministries. helping out in the churches and encouraging the pastors and people. And we just ask you a special blessing upon him and upon all of those that he is ministering to, that there might be a real help and an encouragement to them. And Lord, we think of all of those that we are fortunate enough to be able to help. We just pray that your blessings would be upon each one of them, that they would look to you and find the strength they need. And we just thank you for all those who are willing to go to take the message of Christ wherever you might lead them. And we pray that we would have that same attitude in our daily life, that we might go and seek to rescue the perishing. We pray, dear Heavenly Father, that we might be able to encourage other believers and strengthen those who need that help. Lord, guide us, we pray, and give us compassionate hearts and help us to follow in the way of righteousness and truth. Now bless your word, we pray, to our hearts today, dear Lord, and enable us that we might be able to serve you better. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Jacob's last will and testament. Jacob had already given a special blessing, you remember, in the previous chapter, to Ephraim and Manasseh, the two sons of Joseph. And he actually adopted them as his sons. And we'll see more about that as we go along. But they were considered two tribes of Israel, even though Joseph, of course, was only one. Now he gathers his other sons together to give them one final message, which is a prophetic picture of Israel and its future. The place each tribe would have in the country. And he speaks about their character, the character of each son, where they're coming from, and what will happen in the future, the impact that they will have on their descendants. So when he talks about the individual, he also includes their family, the descendants from them. He mentions here in the first verse, Jacob called unto his sons and said, gather yourselves together, that I may tell you that which will befall you in the last days. The last days. We are living today, what? In the last days, right? According to the scriptures. And Dr. Scofield has a note here in my Bible about the last days. It means a number of different things. But he says that the most likely what Jacob was talking about here would be these two. It says, most frequently in the Old Testament, the term relates to Israel's final rebellion against God, accompanied by a season of great trouble. Jacob's trouble, you know, the tribulation period that's still coming and so forth, to be followed by her return to the Lord, this being succeeded in turn by the establishment in Jerusalem of the center of divine sovereignty on earth, in which the nations of the world will come up to learn the law of the Lord. This is no doubt contemporary with the universal outpouring of the Holy Spirit predicted by Joel. Now, there's scripture for all this, but I'm not going to read it this morning. We'd be here until, later on, wouldn't we? Okay, so I'm just leaving that out. Anyhow, the other one is, in the New Testament, the expression, the last days, is twice used for that period of history introduced by the advent of Christ. When Christ came the first time to earth, it was the beginning of the last days. So we've been in it for a long time, right? This is a long period of time. And so Jacob here is telling his sons what's going to happen to them during that period of time in the last days. And so he says, listen up, gather together. And he starts off, there's 12 sons, right? The first one is Reuben. He was the firstborn. And he should have inherited a double portion. This was what the law said, that the firstborn would get a double portion. But as we've been noticing throughout the book of Genesis especially, the firstborn is not always the one that God uses. You remember? We had Cain and Abel. Abel was the victim, and then Seth came later. But Cain, he was the firstborn, but he wasn't used of God. In fact, he was a rebellion. Excuse me. And then we have Ishmael and Isaac. Ishmael was the first, but God chose to use Isaac as the one to carry on the covenant that he made with Abraham. And then in the case of Esau and Jacob, Esau was the firstborn, but not by very much, but he was. And they were twins. But anyway, God chose fit to use Jacob as the one to carry on the covenant that he had made with Abraham. That's the reason we speak of them as being the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. Those are the ones who were chosen, even though he wasn't firstborn. So Reuben here, being the firstborn, should have been the one to inherit the greater part. But that did not happen because of his sin. Jacob, Jacob cut him down, in other words, put him in a lower place because of his sin. Because Reuben had committed adultery with one of the wives of Jacob. His concubine. Anyway, because of that, Jacob says here that he would not make him the firstborn. He lost his privilege because of his sin. Now, sin has consequences, doesn't it? In various ways. And many times, even when we confess our sins and we're forgiven, it still has consequences, doesn't it? You know? If you have a scar or something, you know, you get shot, you know, you can heal it up, but there's always something there to see, you know, what has happened. And so I like this phrase he uses in verse 4, unstable as water. You know, water just, it flows, but it doesn't, unless it's frozen, you know, it won't stay together. It just moves right along. He says, unstable as water. You know, you can't depend on him. You know. And you will not excel. So, Reuben did not excel. And I have a reference here to 1 Chronicles 5. 1 Chronicles 5 and verse 1. It says, now unto the sons of Reuben, the firstborn of Israel, for he was the firstborn, but forasmuch as he defiled his father's bed, his birthright was given unto the sons of Joseph, the son of Israel. And the genealogy is not to be reckoned after the birthright. For Judah prevailed above his brethren, and of him came the chief ruler, but the birthright was Joseph's. So both Joseph and Judah benefited from the fall of Reuben. In other words, Judah became the great leader, and Joseph received the right of being the firstborn, even though he wasn't. He was the firstborn of Rachel, I guess. Maybe that's it. Anyway, the Reubenites were... never important. I mean, and there's no one that we can point to in the tribe of Reuben that was outstanding in the scriptures. It says he shall not excel. And the Reubenites joined Korah in his rebellion against Moses and his leadership. You remember? And what happened? The earth opened up and they swallowed them up, right? So, like I said, some of these don't sound like blessings. But anyway, he's telling it like it is. You know, like sometimes we have to do, don't we? We have to tell the bad along with the good. Okay, the second ones, he puts two of them together. Simeon and Levi are brothers. Instruments of cruelty are in their habitation. That's their characteristics. Cruelty. What a terrible thing to say about your sons. Oh, they're cruel. You know? And they were both sons of Leah. They acted together as brothers in cruelty and vengeance. If you remember the story, we kind of skipped over it a little bit, but then we did talk about it. One man violated their sister, Dinah, at Shechem. And what did they do? They killed all the men in Shechem because one man violated their sister. It's a little bit extreme, don't you think? I would say. At any rate, we find them being cruel and violent in their attitude, and apparently this is something that followed through. He says, I will divide them in Jacob and scatter them in Israel. Divide them. Simeon began by sharing a portion with Judah. A lot, you know, they divided up the country. And Simeon's was a part of Judah's. And then eventually they became much smaller as a tribe. At one point it says they went from 59,300 down to 22,200. So they really went down. And Levi did not receive any land inheritance, but they became the priestly tribe and dwelt throughout the country. You know, it had the cities here and there throughout the nation. And God eventually used them by his grace and mercy to become the priestly tribe. Of course, Moses was of the tribe of Levi and Aaron and others. And so God used many of them, even in spite of the fact that they had their ancestor had been so cruel. Okay, the fourth one is Judah. He's one of the more prominent ones. We know the tribe of Judah. His very name means praise, and that's what it says about him here. What verse was it? Verse 8, Judah, thou art he whom thy brethren shall praise. That was his name, and he says, they will praise you. Thy hand shall be in the neck of thine enemies, so they'll have victories. It's going to become a great power. Thy father's children shall bow down before thee. And he says here, Judas is a lion's whelp, or a cub, a lion's cub. It has to do with the lion. You know, and the tribe of Judah, of course, became the kingly tribe, right? David, the great king of Israel, was a descendant of Judah. And of course, the Lord Jesus Christ came through the tribe of Judah. He's the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. And he's spoken of as being the Lion of the tribe of Judah. So here, it talks about the lion, how the lion gets his prey and so forth. And then verse 10 is a messianic prophecy talking about, it says, the scepter, that is the right to be a king, the scepter, shall not depart from Judah, nor a lawgiver between his feet, until Shiloh come. And unto him shall the gathering of the people be. Okay, it says there will remain a kingly tribe until Shiloh comes. Shiloh is a reference to the Messiah, who comes as the one bringing peace and prosperity. Speaks of that in verses 11 and 12 about the richness of the... They bind their foal to the vine and wash the garments in wine, and so forth. This is speaking of the prosperity that they will have, and how God's blessings will be upon them, and all of that. So this is the tribe of Judah, one of the most. He became the leader of the family after Jacob passed away. He and Joseph were the two prominent ones. All right, the next one is Zebulun in verse 13. Zebulun shall dwell at the haven of the sea. He shall be for a haven of ships, and his border shall be unto Zidon. So this is one that settled along the land between the Mediterranean Sea and the Sea of Galilee. And they made their living from sea trade and I would say from fishing. They're spoken of as a great warriors who were loyal and dependable. First Chronicles says that they were not of double heart. You could depend upon them. Not like Reuben, who was unstable, but these were people that you could depend upon. They did not have a double heart. Issachar is the next one. It says this was a large tribe that was often invaded by other nations. Notice what it says, verse 14. Issachar is a strong ass couching down between two burdens. And he saw that rest was good and the land that it was pleasant, and bowed his shoulder to bear and became a servant unto tribute. So they tell us that this was a large tribe that was often invaded by other nations. You know, they were there. But rather than resist, they would yield to these other powers and became like servants to them. It's, you know, they enjoyed the rest and the prosperity and so forth, and were willing to give in rather than to fight for their liberty. So this was a characteristic of that part of the country. Next one is Dan, verse 16. Dan shall judge his people. Now, Dan, of the tribe of Dan, one of the most prominent ones was Samson. You remember? Samson was a judge from the tribe of Dan. Of course, he had some other problems with the ladies. You remember? He got into all kinds of trouble. But anyway, Dan shall judge his people. Dan shall be a serpent by the way. You like snakes? You know, the serpents. I don't want to be anywhere around where there's one, you know. I saw the other day on the internet this little boy, 3 years old, walking in the grass. It said his dad was right in front of him, his mom was right behind him, one step, and this snake bit him. And his leg was black as soot, you know. But anyway, he survived, so thank the Lord for that. But at any rate, to be like a serpent. I don't think anyone likes to be called a snake. Yeah. That's not a compliment, is it? But anyway, we find it deceitful and tricky. Maybe he inherited that from Jacob. What do you think? Jacob was rather a trickster. But anyway, it says it's like a snake that would bite the horse's heels and make the rider fall off backwards. And we know that Dan, the tribe of Dan, was the first one to go into idolatry, setting up the golden calves, and all of that, and leading the nation away from God and into this idol worship. So then we have Gad, verse 19. Gad, it says, a troop shall overcome him, but he shall overcome at the last. I guess that's a play on words. His name means a troop is coming. That's what his mother named him when she was wanting to have other children. You know, she named him Gad. And it says he's going to be overcome, but at the last, he's going to triumph. So let's, we read also in other places in the Bible about Gilead. Now, apparently Gilead and Gad is the same. So you might want to know that. So like Gad, we as believers may be overcome many times by burdens, but we are assured by the Lord that He will that we'll win the victory in the end, right? You know, this is we're just passing through, right? And the burdens and heartaches that we have along the way are come to pass on by, and we can be assured that we have victory in Christ. Verse 20 is about Asher. It just says, out of Asher his bread shall be fat, and he shall yield royal bounties. Dainties. His name means happy. Asher. So his tribe is settled in a very fruitful area. I have a reference here to Deuteronomy 33 and 24. In fact, you might want to read that whole chapter because Moses goes through and talks about all the different tribes again and something about them just like Jacob did. But I just wanted to look at verse 24. And of Asher he said, let Asher be blessed with children. Let him be acceptable to his brethren. And let him dip his foot in oil. Dip his foot in oil. That means to be prosperous, right? So he's asking for a blessing to be upon Asher. He's settled in a very fruitful area of Israel. The tenth one is Naphtali, verse 21. It says, he is a deer let loose. That word hind is a type of deer. He's a deer let loose. He gives forth goodly words. So he's one that is free, free-spirited kind of people, like the deer. They don't like to be caged up someplace. They want to be free to go, to run here, there, and yonder. And he gives forth goodly words, speaks of wisdom, being well-spoken. His tribe settled in a key portion near the Sea of Galilee, which was the area where Jesus did much of his teaching and ministry. You know, he settled at Capernaum, which is a part of this tribe of Naphtali. I have a reference here in Matthew 4, and verse 12. Let's see if I... Oh, okay. Now when Jesus had heard that John was cast into prison, he departed into Galilee, and leaving Nazareth, he came and dwelt in Capernaum, which is upon the seacoast, in the borders of Zebulun and Naphtali. That Nephthalim is a different way of saying it, but it's Naphtali. That it might be fulfilled, which was spoken by Isaiah the prophet, saying, the land of Zebulun and the land of Naphtalim, by the way of the sea, beyond Jordan, Galilee of the Gentiles. So this is the region of Galilee where they settled, and very free-spirited people. All right, now Jesus spent a great deal of time there ministering throughout Galilee. And we come to Joseph, verse 22. This is the longest part in Joseph. Says he is a fruitful bough, like a limb off a tree filled with fruit, and by a well, plenty of water, whose branches run over the wall. So he's a prosperous. You know, Joseph became the next to the Pharaoh in Egypt and was very prosperous as far as that goes. And he's here. We find him being a fruitful bough because the Lord was always with him no matter what he was going through, right? His brothers sold him into slavery. Potiphar took him as a servant. And then he had to go to prison because his Potiphar's wife lied about him and said he tried to take advantage of her. But through it all, it says, the Lord was with him. And everywhere he went, he became out on top. He's like a fruitful tree. And he had his faith in God and trusted him. He remained strong and he refused to sin, no matter how strong the temptation was. In the case of Potiphar's wife. So he was given the right of firstborn. We read that a little while ago. And he got a double portion and two tribes in Israel, Manasseh and Ephraim, from Joseph. The last one is Benjamin, verse 27. Benjamin was called son of my right hand, right? This was the last son of Jacob, the youngest of the entire group. And here it says, Benjamin shall raven as a wolf. Be like a ravenous wolf, one that's hungry. You know, a wolf, ferocious, I guess you would say. And it says, in the morning he shall devour the prey, at night he shall divide the spoil. So the Benjamites were rough, tough men, and very ferocious in battle. And there's one place over there where it speaks of all that happened to them there. This one city, most of the people, the Benjamites, were all killed because of some of the actions that they had done. Saul the king was a Benjamite, of course. He was of the tribe of Benjamin. And he spent his time pursuing after David ferociously, seeking to kill him, persecute him. Saul of Tarsus, right? And his persecution of the Christians. He was tamed by the grace of God and made into an apostle, the great apostle Paul, and a wonderful witness for Christ, one of the greatest that's ever been, I would think. And yet, ferocious in his devotion, right? Before, he was against the Christians, but then when he came to Christ, he was that much more in favor of them. That was his characteristic. So the last few verses here describe, after giving the final blessing to his sons, Jacob made them promise to bury him in the family plot beside his fathers there in Israel, or in Canaan as it was at that time. So Jacob then, it says he brought his feet up into the bed and he died, right? He gave up the ghost, as we say, yielded up the ghost, and was gathered unto his people. Notice, he was gathered unto his people. He didn't cease to exist, did he? He died physically, but lived on spiritually. With his faith in God, we see all of this. Jacob's life comes to an end here. We'll find in the next chapter it talks about his burial and all that. But what a character. We've been through all of this about Jacob, and, you know, certainly wasn't boring, that's for sure. He had a moving life, and he finished his course. And he left everything in the hands of his sons for them to carry on. But it's marvelous how God uses people. Huh? In spite of whatever their characteristics might be, or what their basic makeup is, and what the mistakes and all that we make. But he's able to use us if we're willing. All we have to do is yield to him. And he says if we confess our sins, he'll forgive us, and we can go ahead and serve him. And that's wonderful to know, that God is always there to help us through whatever situation we might find ourselves in. All right, let's turn to our last hymn, number 92. 92, we're going to have...